Welcome to the Powered by Transova podcast, where Transova team members and industry experts will cover how our reproductive toolbox of embryo transfer, in vitro fertilization, sorted semen, and cloning technologies can multiply the success within your livestock breeding program. Throughout our series, we will also cover a wide array of topics such as frequently asked questions, management and care advice, as well as client and location highlights.
Welcome to the Powered by Transova podcast. Today we have with us Mick Sitzman, and it sounds like he wears a lot of hats within Transova. He coordinates quite a bit, different positions, different people, oversees quite a bit. So Mick is definitely a busy guy.
Yeah, it brought me back to my embryologist days, Sarah. I was having a little deja vu of going on farm, but Mick was always great to work with, and I think he does an awesome job in his role as a supervisor and relating to clients, because he is a producer himself. They've got a nice farm there outside of Lamar, so I think they have their own production sale now too. So I think that's really great that he lives, breathes all things Transova and advanced reproductive technologies.
Yeah, you can definitely tell he's dedicated to the cause, and you know, he's really wanting the best for clients because he understands what it's like to have good results and bad results. So you can tell he puts in that extra effort. And I also enjoyed talking to Mick because I liked hearing the stories that you two shared throughout this episode. It was interesting, and I think other people will find it interesting as well.
Yeah, we could go on and on with a couple episodes probably. And if you would add a few beers, I'm sure they'd get really interesting. Yeah.
Lots of good stories.
Yes. So, and we even tried to coax out Mick's baby's name that they're expecting here in a few weeks, but we couldn't make it happen. So we apologize in advance for anybody that was hoping.
His wife will be happy with him.
Yes.
Good job, Mick.
Yeah. So without further ado, we're excited to share with you Mick Sitzman. Welcome to the Powered by Transova podcast. Today we have with us Mick Sitzman. Thanks for joining us, Mick. I know you guys are super busy right now.
Yeah, we're on the go now already. Busy season seems to start earlier and earlier every year, huh?
That's right. Why don't you start off, Mick? Tell us a little bit about yourself and your role at Transova.
Okay, well, first off, thanks for asking me to do this here. I'm sure it will be a fun experience. So like Emily said, my name is Mick Sitzman. I am the Plains Region PSE manager here. I still do a lot of the PSE tasks, but I also supervise the PSE, the professional services embryologists here in the Plains Region. The embryologists kind of go around on farms and do all of the in-clinic work and on-farm work, the transfers, OPUs, flushes, things like that. So then my role specifically is kind of more of keeping everything in clinic in order. I do the schedule for in clinic here and then help obviously oversee the traveling schedule. One of the embryologists is kind of in charge of getting the other embryologists where and when. But if she ever has any questions or anything like that, she kind of runs it by me and we see what needs to be done. Another thing that I kind of oversee is if any other centers need fill-in requests, that kind of goes through our role. And we usually have a PSE here in the Plains region that can go help other centers. We are fortunate enough to have a few more than some of the other regions, but that also means that we're a little bit more tied down because we do have some more work that those PSEs are tied to. But other than that, I think some of the other answers I have here will kind of answer the what does my role look like. So,
Mick, it sounds like you do a lot of coordinating, because not only do you coordinate in clinic procedures, but you're also scheduling people on the road and traveling. And that sounds like in and of itself a lot to juggle. Tell me about what does a good day look like for Mick Sitzman, and like what does success mean for you?
So success for me in the manager role, I guess, would be to have all of my supervisees happy with what they're doing. That's kind of our main priority. as that role, to coach and to lead our team as best as we can, make sure they're in a position to be successful themselves. And I think as a PSE, success is good results. Obviously, we're not always going to have those good results, but higher averages than the day before or the last trip that we went to that person's house, having a higher conception rate than the previous year is success. And, you know, small wins sometimes is a good thing too. Like today I had just frozen a flush with 36 embryos, all grade ones out of one cow. And if that's not success in this industry, then I don't know what is. So, but yeah, higher averages and happy clients, obviously, as a PSE. And then success from the manager role, like I kind of talked about earlier, was just having them happy with what they're doing and where they're at and making sure they're set up to be successful themselves.
So Transo will use a lot of acronyms. Before we get too far into this, can you tell us what a PSE is, or, you know, what, let our listeners know before we get too far here?
Yeah, for sure. So a PSE, what we call PSE, is a professional services embryologist. I've heard us called techs, lab techs too. Kind of the same thing. I should have kind of maybe went over this when we talked about my role too. We are basically the help for the veterinarians. The veterinarians will collect the embryos in the oocytes and do the transfers, but also then the embryologist will search those dishes with the oocytes in them, search those flushes with the embryos in them, and get the embryos ready for transfers. If you're doing fresh transfers, we evaluate them and straw them up and get the guns ready for the vets. So kind of just the helping hand of the veterinarian, but the veterinarian does quote unquote the dirty work. So, so the PSE is an embryologist, and we go through 4 to 6 months of training to become that. It's kind of just the helping hand for the vets.
I would say you guys are more than a helping hand, Vic.
that's what we like to know too, but from the outside looking in, it kind of looks like that, just because hopefully we make it look easy enough that it's not too stressful.
Yep, definitely. So Mick, you know, talk a little bit what a typical day looks like for an embryologist. I know you kind of hit on that a little bit, but what are your guys' duties while you're in clinic? And then what does a day look like when you're traveling?
Okay. Yeah. So those are two very different days, really. And that's kind of what I was thinking about when I was thinking about this question. But, you know, an in-clinic day, it can be, so usually it starts out for myself, for sure. We evaluate fresh embryos for fresh transfers. That's kind of what we do first thing in the morning. Fresh transfers start at 8:15. So then we get those all in for the day, and that can definitely be variable too. We might have 10 or 15 going into Transova cows, or we might have 150 going into Transova cows here in Sioux Center. But then we also have haul-in clients will bring their own cows in, and we can put embryos into those cows. We do frozen transfers there in the morning too. And this is kind of a day during, you know, April, May, June, where we're definitely a lot heavier work. Like I said, the transfers in the morning, and then in the afternoon, we usually have OPUs, and that can kind of vary there too. Some days are heavier than others, where we have, you know, 5 or 10 on one day, and then other days we'll have 30 or 40 here in Sioux Center. And those are fun days. They're busy days. The time goes fast and everybody kind of just puts their head down and gets to work. But then, you know, if a PSE is coming in off of the road, off of a trip, they will have paperwork to kind of get caught up on, make sure all their transfers and OPUs and everything is entered into our system and turn the paperwork into the accounting team so that everything can get billed correctly. And then kind of in our off season, if people are in clinic here, we kind of pick up any jobs that other departments have that they're falling a little bit behind on. I know we have teammates that go help the accounting department sometimes and the shipping, the regulatory department. Whenever the CSRs get overloaded, there's always some things that we can help them out with too. So we're kind of a jack of all trades at the PSE position. And it feels like whenever anyone has questions, we're the people that they come find because we kind of have our hands in a little bit of everything. So, so that would be an in-clinic day. The day on farm those days are very long days. I mean, I've had those kinds of days where we, left the hotel at 6 a.m. or 5:30 a.m. and we got back to either that same hotel or the next hotel at 11:30 or 12:30 at night. So we can obviously do transfers on farm. A lot of our April, May, June trips are transfer trips, either frozen embryo transfers where we thaw the embryos and put them into the recips, or fresh embryo transfers where we bring an incubator full of tubes of embryos and we sort them out there on farm. And then the client picks and chooses which ones they want to put in that day. And we usually put all those in. Sometimes we end up freezing a couple there on farm, or we get them all put in and then we go on to the frozen embryos that they have in their inventory also. So we also do, flushes on farm. And a new thing that we've kind of started in the last couple of years is doing OPUs on farm too, if they have enough donors that we can get those done and knocked out. And then the client doesn't need to haul those embryos into us, donors into a satellite center or here in clinic. So the days of an embryologist are very variable. And, that's what kind of makes this position fun too, is you're not usually doing the same thing every day. And it also makes it a little bit stressful too. You need to be ready for everything.
Sounds like you're constantly on the ball and prepared for everything. And it also sounds like you guys know a lot about the ins and outs of what's going on within Transova. Could you tell me, Mick, a little bit about what options clients have for on-farm procedures? You've gone into it a little bit talking about, mainly it's flushing, but sometimes it's IVF. Can you kind of dig into those details a little bit more and kind of tell people what their options are?
Yeah, for sure. So when you have a team come on farm, I mean, I've done, I think, every procedure that we can here at Transova on farm. And sometimes it's set up for that work better than others. And, so the main thing that we do on farm for our clients nowadays is the transfers. Like I kind of said earlier, we can either do those frozen transfers where we bring the embryos, or the embryos are already on farm. If they're stored there on farm, we thaw the embryos, and put those into the client owned recips, or we bring an incubator full of tubes of embryos. And that process is a little more detailed. We need somewhere heated to set up and clean and, to evaluate those embryos. We don't want any bacteria or anything, you name it, particles getting into those embryos and hurting the preg rate. So usually a warmer, clean place to sort those embryos we'll bring a microscope and the media, and we'll sort those and give you the list of what we have with us that day. And we can, then the client can choose what they want put in. And obviously we will straw those up into embryo straws and load the guns and have the veterinarian transfer those into the recips. Then we also have the flushes, on-farm flushes. So we bring our microscopes and our freezers and our eyes, the most important part. The vet will flush those donor cows, and we'll get the filters into where we're searching. I have searched flushes in the back of a Suburban before, but we do prefer some kind of lab or a kitchen table or even a garage. A cleaner garage would work for that. But we will evaluate those embryos, and a lot of clients do put those in fresh right away off of those flushes. And then we have a lot of clients too that'll freeze some or a majority or all, and then just put in other embryos if we're there for transfers also. Another thing that I kind of alluded to earlier was the on-farm OPUs. So some clients have enough donor cows that they can, I think our number is 10 or 15 donors to do an on-farm OPU. Sorry, I should have that fact, but 10 or 15 donors, and we will come do the OPUs at your house so you don't have to haul all those donors into a regional center or a satellite center. Obviously, the working facilities for that is a little more detailed. We need a clean, heated area for the shoot, and then a clean, heated area for the searching and stuff there, too. But we will bring an incubator, and we'll find all those oocytes that your donors give us that day, and we'll put them in the incubator and bring them back to one of our regional centers where they'll be fertilized the next day and then obviously go through the process of becoming an embryo.
You kind of mentioned, you know, you need a kitchen table, clean area. If you had your choice of going on farm for a flush or fresh transfers, like what are five things that people should have? Like if this is your like wish list as an embryologist, because I remember as an embryologist going to some places and you're like, what the heck, you know?
So, yep. So the biggest thing, the most helpful thing for an embryologist would be kind of a room to thaw out of, a room to set up there. And like you said, this is a wish list. It's definitely not a need because we've all thawed enough embryos out of the back of a Suburban to have that down to a science, but a room with a table or something like that to set up on to thaw, to kind of be able to spread our stuff out would be awesome. That's number one. I would love that. Close to the chute too, if possible. Having to run embryos 200 yards over to the chute back and forth isn't fun, but enough people to make the process go smoothly would be a big one. Obviously, some people, they have their kids there and it's during the summer usually, so they're able to help. But if they don't have kids or anything, grab the neighbors. Anybody who knows how to move cows or tag a cow is perfect. So just as fast as we can get them through and do a quality job is better. We can get on to the next stop too. The third thing I was thinking of would be kind of electricity. We do have power converters for the Suburbans and things like that, but sometimes those do fail. So having a power cord or just a generator or something there to be able to provide power for us if needed. The next thing I thought of would be a good working chute. I've seen some chutes that are immaculate and set up for this perfectly. And then I've seen some that aren't quite so set up perfectly, but a good chute, and clean enough that it works. I have seen manure piled up in some of those chutes so high that those front head gates don't even close all the way. So that's a little concerning sometimes, but a good clean chute, and then a setup to get a couple cows in line behind the one in the chute so that we can give epidurals and have those next cows ready and waiting for those next embryos. If we aren't able to, you know, give those epidurals a little bit ahead of time, we have to wait for that to kick in a little bit, and it just slows us down. And obviously everybody wants to kind of get things going and get things rolling so that they can get onto their next tasks. But that is my wish list, Emily. Definitely not things that we need, but things that would make the day go a lot smoother, and the vets would be in much happier moods.
Yes, I get that. I think the one thing to note in there, Mick, is the electricity. It is very nice to have that backup, but sometimes when you're in the middle of nowhere in South Dakota at somebody's pasture, the Suburban is all that you have. So like you said, definitely a wish list, but we can make whatever work. So I like your list a lot. Yeah.
I actually, when I was an embryologist, I made a table to put in the back of the Suburban so that I didn't have to bend over so far every time to thaw each individual embryo. And that helped save my back quite a bit, because my main traveling territory was North Dakota. And, you know, there's not much up there really, you know, it's a lot of pasture ground, and guys have chutes and corrals out in the middle of, like you said, out in the middle of the pastures. And that's all we have. Some of them might have a generator or two, but that's usually used to power the chutes, you know, And then, yeah, we thaw and do everything out of the back of a Suburban, whether we like it or not. But and we know that too, going in, we ask those questions. So we know what to be prepared for. And we, you know, there's times where we can't even see out of the back of the Suburban. We've got so much stuff packed up in there, just in case, you know.
It sounds like as an embryologist, you learn how to improvise quite well.
Oh, for sure. Definitely that. Especially when you forget something. And then you're like, okay, now what do I do? What can I use to fix this? Because you don't want to admit that you screwed up.
Right. But improvising not only with the situation you've been given and the setting, but you know, the things you have with you too, it sounds like.
Yep. Yep.
So maybe this question might be good for both Emily and Mick, but I want to know, you know, we hear a lot of stories at Transova of different people who have traveled throughout the years. Tell me what is the craziest on-farm setup you've seen. Mick, maybe you can start, and Emily, if you have any anecdotes to share with us, that'd be fun.
Yeah. When I was thinking about this, I came up with two. The one, you know, and it's funny, us as embryologists, we talk to each other about this a lot, and it is kind of weird, but I mean, I dream when I was traveling around all that stuff, and I dream about work all the time. I dream about searching flushes and searching LPUs for some reason. I can just see them floating through my dreams. And this isn't a situation or a setup, I guess, but it was one of the dreams that I've had. I pulled a cane out of a tank, a whole cane, so it had 8 embryos in it. And I, instead of just pulling one embryo out and putting it into the thaw thermos, I decided to just take the entire cane and put it into the thaw thermos. So all of those embryos were thawed all at once, which obviously not a good thing, especially when the client didn't want all of them thawed. But nightmares like that happen. And another nightmare that I have had, and this one actually did, I didn't do that one. I did not thaw a whole cane of embryos at one time, but this nightmare came true. So we got to a place out in South Dakota. Oh, I bet we got there at like 10:30 at night. And so obviously it was dark and we had to get these embryos in. So we needed somewhere with light. And the only chute that this person had with light was up in his calving barn. He had, you know, just a self-catch head gate with some gates around it. And, you know, just to use for calving when he was pulling out calves or doing C-sections or whatever. So we get up there and it is, I mean, it's a calving barn and it's out in the middle of South Dakota. So it's, you know, just what helps keep calves dry and warm during a blizzard. So we get in there and we had to pry the doors open and we got in there and the chute was kind of right in the middle. So we didn't really have anywhere to stack cows behind us or anything like that. So we were going one at a time and we only had maybe 20 or 25. So we brought the first group in and they were a little ranchy, you know, South Dakota cows, recips. We get going and we did a few and I had my table set up there and I was actually behind like a tarp so that the cows couldn't see me going into the chute so they wouldn't, or so that they would go in nice and easy and stuff. But when those cows came out of the chute, they could plain as day see me and my table and my tanks and stuff like that. And it was all going really well. The only thing was that the door to get out of this barn was the one, there was two doors, the one that we came in, which we didn't want them to go out of because we were right next to it. And the other one was kind of just a hole in the wall. It was probably, you know, it's 6 foot tall by 4 foot wide, just a hole that obviously had a sliding door over it. And we get this one cow in there that didn't really know what to do after she got out of the chute. And she got a little worked up. She couldn't find the hole to get out. And she decided to come straight at me. And my table went flying. My tank went flying. I went flying. And I had embryos on the table there. And so everything went flying. And for some reason, I just remember, so that tarp was there and my poor tank full of liquid nitrogen had tipped over. So that tarp was, you know, there was kind of a pool of liquid nitrogen and somehow, some way, I don't know who was looking out for me, but all of my embryos fell right in that pool. They were still in liquid nitrogen, you know, it couldn't have worked out any better, but having that cow come back and I think I made eye contact with her. I couldn't tell you for sure, but I just saw that look in her eye, and then she came at us, and that was definitely one of the nightmares that I've had, losing all those embryos onto the ground and having a cow flip the table over. But we got so lucky that, and I didn't have too many embryos pulled out. You know, usually we have a doer of 5 or 6 canes, but I only had, I think, 2 canes in there, and I grabbed them real quick out of the liquid nitrogen and tossed them in my tank. And then we ended up putting those embryos in, and I think we got 8 out of 10 pregnant. So it was even better than if they wouldn't have gone, you know, flying. So I think having them go for a little ride woke them up a little bit, and they stuck a little better for us.
They were scared. They wanted to stay. They wanted to stay somewhere safe after that.
Exactly. Emily, what's something that you kind of experienced?
Oh, gosh.
I know you and I kind of went on a few trips there together when I was just starting, but.
Yeah. I don't know about craziest, but what you said about the nightmares and dreams, that's legit. You search 40 OPUs in a day, and you shut your eyes, and all you can see are oocytes going across.
Yep. Floating around.
Yeah. No, I don't know about crazy. I think I was pretty fortunate that I went to some really nice places. I can remember having to set up at, you know, people's kitchen tables, and then like the wife making lunch for everybody as I'm searching flushes and stuff. Or the one place in Illinois I went to, the chair that they had at the counter for me to search wasn't tall enough, so I had to like sit on some phone books that day. My body was so sore after that because it was not comfortable. But you said North Dakota, and that reminded me that one time Dr. Paul Van Ruckel and I were up there, and it was like -20, and the lidocaine had frozen overnight because we forgot to bring it into the hotel with us. So we had it on the dash of the Suburban trying to thaw it out and waiting while they brought up the cows. And if you've ever met Paul Van Ruckel, he will run circles around you. I'm like, my lips are blue, my fingers, I can't move. My pen was freezing up to write down recip numbers as they came through the chute. He's running circles around. He's like, I'm working up a sweat. I'm going to freeze. There's no way I'm going to make it back to Iowa.
Talking about Paul, I wasn't at this trip, but I heard stories about it. They were at a place there in South Dakota, and there was 2 groups of cows there to do. So they got done with the first one, and so the guys had to go out and get that second group of cows, because remember my wish list, they didn't have enough people to get that second group of cows while we were doing the first. But so it took a little while, because I mean, they must have been a mile away there out in South Dakota, nowhere South Dakota. And Paul started pulling weeds on this person's farm just because he didn't want to sit there and do nothing. So he started pulling weeds on this, in this person's flower garden.
Can Paul come to my house? I could use some Paul.
Well, the one day in clinic, he got hit in the face with a trailer door and sliced above his eye open. And he finished transferring with, you know, bleeding, and then he went home, stitched himself up, came back and did OPUs that day.
Stories about vets, I could go on for a very long time about those.
that's a whole nother podcast episode.
Right,
that's another can of worms, isn't it?
Yeah. When you travel with them every single day for 3 months out of the year, it's a lot of things happen.
You get to know your coworkers pretty well.
Yes, definitely.
The other thing I remember as an embryologist is staying in some sketchy places. I think at one point we stayed at this bed and breakfast in South Dakota, maybe. And like, there wasn't a soul there, and it looked like something straight out of a horror film.
Or those motels that you stay in that you drive up to, and you know, you park in front of your door. And there was multiple times out there that we would call and we'd be like, okay, well, we're not going to be there till, you know, 11:30. And the person was like, okay, well, I'll just I'll leave the keys out for you. So, you know, you drive up there and there's two keys sitting on the floor mat of the hotel. And you're like, well, that's a little sketchy, but I guess we're in the middle of nowhere. So
anything goes out in rural America, right?
Yep. Where you can trust about anybody, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, Mick, let's switch gears just a little bit to end out your session. Tell me, you've got something exciting coming up. Tell me about more of your personal life and what you've got going on and what you're looking forward to here in what, 4 or 5 weeks?
Yep. So yeah, there's a little Sitzman coming on board here, and yeah, I think you're right. Four or five weeks. We're just getting, so we had to add on to our house. We live in a real old farmhouse, just south of Lamar's here, south of Sioux Center. And so we had to add on a new room for the little one, a little girl coming on. Everyone here at NC Center is begging me to tell the name, but I can't do that, but I'd like to spoil it. But I think my wife, Monica, would get pretty upset with me about that.
Come on. We'll break the news.
Yeah. Transova heard it first. Right. I didn't really tell much about myself there in the beginning, but I live just south of Sioux Center here, about 45 minutes. I grew up there, so I kind of wanted to work here at Transova all through high school. And I didn't really know where I wanted to go to college, but then, you know, I started looking into it, and Iowa State had animal science. So I was like, hey, let's do that. So my first day, or my first trip to Ames, my first step on campus was at orientation after I had applied and been accepted and, you know, paid my first semester already, basically. So I went to Iowa State for undergrad and came here for a couple internships here in Sioux Center during undergrad, and traveled a lot with Emily into North Dakota, South Dakota. And then I started here right after graduation from Iowa State in 2016 as a traveling embryologist. And then I kind of moved into a lab coordinator role there a few years after that, which means I kind of just stayed here in clinic more. And then our supervisor at that time took a different position here in Transova. So then I was selected to be the supervisor for the embryologists here in the Plains region. So had a few different hats, kind of all the same thing, but I love doing the embryologist work. I love, you know, looking at embryos every day and searching those OPUs and being able to give those clients the good news. The bad news when we don't have real good results is never fun, but seeing the joy and the happiness in their eyes when we do get to give them good news is one of my favorite things about Transova.
Yeah, definitely. One thing I really like about Transova too is that a lot of us have cattle ourselves and actually use the services, which you do with your own herd too, right, Mick? You flush cows or do some IVF as well?
Yep, we do. We IVF, I think I've IVF 5 or 6 donors now between myself and a couple of my brothers. Yeah, we are actually waiting for one more embryo calf here today, I think, to hit the ground. And I know this is kind of just a plug for Transova, but why, what a better place to do it, right? I put in 8 fresh, IVF embryos there last spring, and I've got 7 of the 8 on the ground, and we're waiting for the last one. And before I got on this call, she was actually starting to push. So had real good results with it last year. So put the frozen embryos in at a little bit later date. So we'll see how many of those took, but we did good this year. And yeah, like you said, Emily, having our own cows and being able to relate to these clients that we're serving, you know, obviously I want good results for myself. So it's like, okay, would I do this for my own cows, or how hard am I going to try? Because I know, you know, if I can't trust the embryologists out there in the lab searching the dishes of my own cows, how can I trust them to search the dishes of someone else's cows? It kind of puts a whole new meaning behind it for sure.
One thing, our last question, Mick, is I think we should touch on the intern program. You were an intern for 2 summers, right?
Correct. Yep.
Yeah. So maybe you want to talk a little bit about that experience and how to apply for our internships. I know we've picked them, but maybe for people looking at 2022.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, so interns are a huge part of our summer. We definitely could not do what we do on clients' farms and here in clinic as well without them. When I was an intern, my first internship was out here, was here in Sioux Center out with the recip guys, heat checking all the recips that we have here, helping with preg check and pushing cows. I did a lot of pushing cows that summer. But then one of the other main internships that we have is the professional services internship. And that's where the intern will be able to go on farm with our vets and our embryologists. It's usually a team of three people, a vet, an embryologist, and an intern, to make those rounds, you know, spend all week out on the road, but you get to see some of the coolest stuff you see. I mean, from my mind anyways, having cows myself, you know, I'd love to not judge people's setups, but see what they have, and see what I wanted to do at home there myself. As an intern, you don't really have much responsibility. You know, you're kind of long to soak in as much as you can and learn as much as you can. And, you know, getting to pick the brains of some of the most intelligent people in this industry, all week, you know, you're sitting in a Suburban for hours on end, and during those internships, and being able to ask whatever questions you want about, you know, cows and the repro system. But like I did say, I wanted to work at Transova since I was in, you know, middle school. So I just thought that was the coolest thing. But then a new internship that we started 2 years ago is the embryologist internship. And so that is more here in clinic with myself, kind of report to myself there every day. And you basically are an in-clinic PSE, helping us put away frozen embryos that are frozen up at the GAC that come down every day. Checking in embryos that clients send to us that they want put into our recips, helping search some practice OPUs. And if, when you're signed off on those, helping to search some real OPUs and do things like that, get your hands wet. And, you know, like I said, having some of the best people in the industry at your fingertips to, you know, practice doing whatever you want to practice. If you want to get your arm in cows, we have cows set up for practice, you know, solely practice and looking at embryos under the microscope. And, you know, you get to kind of figure out if this is something you want to do. I wish we had this one when I was an intern, and, you know, it would have just led me straight here for sure. We do have other internships as the CSR, the client service representative internship. And then also up in the IVF lab, we have an intern up there too. So, but like Emily said, I think we've picked them for this year, but to apply for those, you know, you can visit the Transova website, and I believe in the careers section, right, Emily, that's where that would be.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. So just apply there, and, you know, I can't say enough good things about the internship program. And, you know, like I said, having these people at your fingertips and being able to learn whatever you want to learn, even if you figure out that you don't like it as much as you thought you would, it is just a cool thing to have on your resume and a cool experience to be a part of.
And we have to give a short plug for our own. We get a marketing intern this year. So we're
first one.
Yeah. Emily and I are excited about that. So,
we're
going to have somebody join the team and travel around to some different junior national events throughout the summer and help Emily and I. And what could be cooler than that? Right.
Right. Yeah.
where do I apply for that one?
It's too late. Sorry. Oh, funny. Well, thank you, Mick, so much. This has been awesome getting to chat with you. And we really appreciate your perspective on things. You're our first embryologist, I think, to have on the podcast. So thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys. This is awesome. I can't wait to hear the other ones. And I sound like a broken record, but talking to the best people in the industry and some of my favorite people. So thank you very much.
Thanks,
Mick. Thank you, Mick.
Have a good rest of your day.
You guys too.
Bye.
Bye.
We appreciate you tuning in to Transova. If you have any topics you'd like to hear more about, send an email to moreinformation@transova.com. Thank you.